99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City, and time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
The sun is almost up, and you're listening to All Hoping I'll Be Able to March Next Year Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
This is our 139th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several galaxy clusters is we have still been holding at the gigantic number of 126 followers on Twitter. Oh, everybody in all of those galaxies trembles at that huge number. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 12, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting this past Wednesday night. Well, you know, some people just had a complaint at the end. We need to really extend the time for this meeting. We want to have longer meeting because some of us have questions to ask. Well, maybe some people shouldn't have wasted all that time earlier in the meeting. I know that I didn't manage to give an oral treasurer's report at that meeting because, hey, what the hell, that's not so important. However, if anybody wants to read a copy of the written treasurer's report I put out, you can go up to glib.com and you can find it there. And a program note, we are preempted next week for another fundraising special. We're scheduled to be back on July 1st, and that will be our annual time of reviewing the Pride March, the Christopher Street Liberation Day March, as I like to call it, and all sorts of things related to that. And, of course, we'll do some traditional things. And, yeah, so that's when we're going to be doing that, on July 1st. It's happened at times when we've had to do it later on, and that's just life. Next time we're on is July 1st. In some really good news, the summer solstice will occur next Wednesday, June 21st at 10:58 in the morning. So that 2 minutes before 11 o'clock in the morning next Wednesday, June 21st, the summer solstice will happen. Woohoo! The sun will be directly overhead at the Tropic of Cancer, and we're going to be thousands of miles away from that, but hey, that's as high as it's going to get. So summer will arrive. Summer is my favorite season, and of course, it makes up a significant part of the middle third, which we're all in right now. The CDC website isn't giving us a lot of up-to-date information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying some stuff. Right now, they are pegging the total deaths in America from COVID-19 at 1,132,206, which means that 767 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program 1 week ago. The CDC says that there's been a 7.7% downtick in COVID-19 deaths in the past week. That's not as much of a downtick as the previous week, although I will note that the official deaths in America have gone below 1,000 for the first time, and I don't know how long. It's been years, I think. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots, and those new boosters are going to be getting put out in the autumn, and I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can as well.
And our Paul, looking at the wastewater reports, New York City is doing really well. In fact, most of the United States is doing really well, has low numbers of COVID, except for a couple of places, and it's interesting, there's a couple of places that have a few counties that have medium rates of COVID, and that's in Wyoming and Northeast Texas. And there's some counties that have high rates of COVID, and they're all clustered together. They're right next to each other. And there's four of them in Nevada and four in Texas. So other than that, every county in every other state, you know, has low rates of COVID. So
I bet you there are a whole bunch of people who've been denying that it exists in those particular counties.
It's entirely possible. And according to the World Health Organization's dashboard, world deaths of COVID has reached 6,943,000. 1,390. So it's almost at 7 million. And that is a horrifying number because all these people did not have to die from this disease. So, and we're still in the pandemic. Even though things are going pretty well right now, they're still not perfect. And we are hoping that things will get better. But wear your masks when you need to, folks. And also wear your masks when that fire smoke comes down. And if you want to know what's going on with that, go to airnow.gov. You've got a map of the entire world there, and it shows you where all the smoke from Canada and the U.S. goes. And it goes quite far in the world. So airnow.gov.
And, of course, it is Pride Month. And as I said in the previous programs, I am probably not marching again this year. I'm pretty definitely not marching again this year because I can hardly walk 3 blocks and I can't wait around for all this stuff. I did march in the Christopher Street Liberation Day March, which is what it had been and what it should still be called. Yes, grumpy old man complaining. And I had done all of that, but I did miss one. I missed one in 1972, but I was in all of the others until 2020. And then 2020, 2021, 2022, and this year I'm going to miss it. So there you go. But I am hoping that next year I'll be able to be marching. And again, we'll do our annual, Pride program on the next program on July 1st. And it's just the way the calendar and things work out. Meanwhile, GLAAD, which stands for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which is a group that does a job that I used to do long ago. I was in the Gay Activists Alliance media committee eons ago. And then when we left the Gay Activists Alliance, because people were, some stupid people came in, basically took it over. And we ended up in the Gay Media Alliance, and we did a job that's similar to GLAAD. However, of course, we didn't have a big budget. We were doing this out of our own pockets. We put out a publication called A Calendar of Events for Lesbians and Gay People, and we just gave the thing away. And my male ex spent thousands of dollars on this stuff. And yeah, so, but GLAAD, they don't know we ever existed. It's that break between the radical old crazy guys and the newer people who are more connected to the I don't want to call it the corporate world, but I'll just say they're more connected to pricier things, put it that way. And so, yes, it is an interesting thing. They don't know we ever existed. Anyway, GLAAD has released a survey that says 8 in 10 non-LGBT plus infinity people in the United States support equal rights for members of the LGBT plus infinity community. They say that the survey shows that 84% of adults in America believe that sexual and gender minorities should have the same rights as heterosexual and cisgender, that is, non-transgender people. While a large majority of United States adults, 7 in 10, agreed that businesses should publicly support the LGBT plus infinity community. Sarah Kate Ellis, the organization's president and CEO, said in a statement that, quote, "While these results are a clear demonstration that fair and accurate representation in media and journalism have a powerful and measurable effect on the lives of LGBTQ people, America is at a critical juncture when it comes to LGBTQ acceptance and safety," unquote. And yeah, I agree with that. Jesus Christ, we're at this bizarre thing of, you know, oh, being in drag is this big, awful thing. Give me a break. Again, I've pointed out stuff like, you know, everybody in the 50s was watching Milton Berle. Every program he was in drag, you know, not a big, they would make fun of him because he was a comedian, of course, but that was a part of it. And, you know, I mentioned last time Chuck McCann would be Little Orphan Annie among other cartoon characters on his show. And that was for kids. Nobody said, oh, he's corrupting the children, because we didn't have right-wing bad people trying to take over the country, which is what we do have right now. And so, yeah, I'm very glad, though, that their poll shows such good results, because this is what we were aiming for. Even if the more well-off, the more well-mainstream gay, lesbian, you name everybody, LGBT plus infinity people, even though they don't even know we existed, a lot of them, and they have some differences with we old farts and the old radical faggots of those days, this is what at least some of us were aiming for. We wanted to make it so that we would have an effect on people. That's why the Gay Activists Alliance put together the first gay, as we called it then, gay civil rights bill, and we pushed it. And, you know, it took years and years before it passed the New York City Council, but we started it. We did the first one. And remember Richie Amato, because he wrote the first bill, even though some people are crediting other people with having done it. And so this is a good thing. This is what we were aiming at. We were aiming at getting people to know we're here. Part of it is letting people know they know gay people. Because in 1970, most people would say, I don't know anybody like that. In 1970, you couldn't say gay because they didn't know what that meant. You had to say homosexual. And then they would say, oh, I don't know any of those. And, you know, of course, they had family members, you know, who were gay, and people they worked with who were gay. And so this was something we were saying, we've got to get people to understand that we are everywhere, which was one of our themes in those days. And it's happening, and it's very good. And, yeah, I think we old farts made a contribution to this, because we made it safer for groups like this and the better off people, the more mainstream people, to be able to come out. That was, in fact, one of the things we discussed in GAA. After the first Pride March, we sat around and we were in, I forget whose apartment, and we were saying, you know, we gotta push for this law, because it had been talked about, but nobody had done anything about it. We gotta push for this law and make it happen, and that way more people will be able to get into the movement. That was our main thought right there. Wasn't a bad thought, because we needed more people in that movement. We were pretty small in you know, July 1970. And so, yeah, we managed to do some things back then that made it possible for these other folks to come out. If we hadn't started breaking barriers, they would have been locked into the old ways themselves. The people who came before us, the people of the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, and on into the past, they weren't inferior to the current mainstream people. They just couldn't come out because society would have demolished them. In fact, society did that to people time and time again. There are so many awful bad stories of people losing their jobs, being thrown out of apartments. What? You're queer? Get out of here. You're evicted. And they got away with that. And so, yeah, We made a serious difference, and the people today are carrying on and bringing it into larger things with a lot more money behind it all, and money does matter. I remember the amount of time we used to spend on Christopher Street selling buttons to support the march. Oh, man, You know, what was it? I think it was a dime or 25 cents for a button. And we would spend hours and hours at a table saying, support the march, buy a button, support the march. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm glad that many more people in America realize that gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, and everybody else is here, and that they are not hating us these days, which used to be the case. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. So, Pickles mentioned before the smoke from the Canadian wildfires, which they're back up to more than 400 fires again as we record this, and that's probably related to climate change. Something else that's related to climate change is a visitor that we're predicted to have this summer. It's called the Joro Spider. And in the New York Times, they're saying that this spider, Joro, J-O-R-O, it's a big spider, pretty much. It's the size of your palm. Now, that's a lot bigger than most of the spiders we see around here. And they weave webs that can be about 3 feet across. And they're actually from East Asia. They're certainly not native to America. However, they're here. And they showed up in Georgia. And they've been moving north, probably with the weather being more, you know, acceptable for arachnids. And it's being predicted that these things are going to be here in New York City this summer. And although they're big, on the Times article it says they're scaredy cats. They freeze for like a while if you spook them or something, whereas some spiders will come after you if you bother them. And so these may frighten a lot of people, and I'm looking at it here, and it has these multicolored legs, and it's got a spotted body. The body's pretty big, and, you know, it could look scary, but apparently it's not that bad a thing. But it really shouldn't be here, but when these invasive species show up, it's nothing we can do about it. They just show up, and they're permanent residents here. It's like the Burmese pythons in the Everglades in Florida. They are predicted to be the top predator after a while. They're going to kill off the alligators.
Do these spiders just eat flies?
I'm sure they'll bite you if they have to. I mean, all spiders will bite you if they have to. But they eat insects. Yes, they have a web, and they get in there. I'm sure if they caught some tiny animal, they'd try it. But the way a spider works is it stings its prey, it poisons it, paralyzes it, and sometimes it'll wrap it up. Sometimes it'll start feeding right away. Then the poison that it injects dissolves the interior of the insect. The insect has an exoskeleton, and then the spider drinks the insides. For something like a mammal, that doesn't work because we don't have exoskeletons.
So these aren't like the black widow, which is very poisonous.
And not that I know of.
Okay,
no.
So these are just great big spiders, but they're not going to come like if you bump their web, then they see this big thing. They're not going to come out because they're like, yikes, it's too big for me.
That would be good spider logic. Speaking of climate change, Siberia. Ah, yes, send him to Siberia, and lots of people have been sent there, and some of them are still being sent there today. Siberia, which is notorious for being cold, and, well, you know, we have done in the past various readings from a book printed in 1898 called The Mistakes We Make, and it was full of sort of a fact book of 1898, and at that time, the coldest temperature ever recorded was in Siberia. Of course, it's, you know, Eventually, people got into Antarctica and they said, oh, this is a lot colder. Anyway, Siberia is breaking its temperature records during what they're calling, quote, the worst heat wave in history, unquote. It's being reported that the temperature hit 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Jultunovsk last Saturday, the hottest day ever in that city. Last Wednesday, in the cities of Baevo, it hit 103.3 degrees Fahrenheit, and in Bernal, it was 101.3 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, it's not supposed to be below zero in Siberia in May and June, but it certainly doesn't usually get up to be 100 degrees or more. If it were 100 degrees or more here, we'd all be going, ah. But you can imagine how it must be for the people who are used to walking around in snow and ice an awful lot. I mean, in Siberia, I think in Siberia, it probably starts snowing again in September, usually, maybe not anymore. But, and of course, they have permafrost up there, and the permafrost is melting and evaporating, and you get what's called thermokarst, which is what permafrost is after the ice melts. And you can have 10,000 years of stuff that was, you know, there 10,000 years ago, a lot of plant life, even animals that are dead, mastodons and things, and it's all frozen, so it hasn't been doing anything. But when the thermokarst happens, the bacteria that are still there, or bacteria that show up new, because bacteria are everywhere, those bacteria start eating all of that old material, and that is also contributing to greenhouse gases. Yeah, it's really something how the greenhouse gases just cascade like this. Oh, boy. And, of course, the Republicans are still denying that this stuff is happening. Oh, man.
All you of Earth are idiots.
Democratic candidate for president Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is saying that he's, quote, aware, unquote, the CIA may kill him and he lives accordingly. He has no chance, of course, of getting elected president, and he is a conspiracy nut. And we've been seeing email allegations that the CIA is out to assassinate some WBAI producers. The first email I got about this came from some... Yes, I am laughing about it. This is absurd. The first email I got about this came from someone who claimed that there was a website that was run by the CIA and which shows a, quote, kill list, unquote, funded by the CIA. That email said that the site proudly identifies itself right on its homepage and in English as, quote, a CIA project, unquote.
Sorry.
So the secretive CIA is posting online and in English, just to make it easier, that they are going to kill an American citizen on American soil. Gosh, why does this sound implausible to me? Why doesn't it sound implausible to the people who are pushing this assassination scare? Do people realize that anyone can put up a website and write anything on it, including claims that they're the CIA? The people pushing this have not shown any proof that this is real.
I think I'm going to start writing about our vacation home on Mars.
Okay. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So we all know that there are still people who rail against what they call evolution. Yes, I'm against this evolution thing because it goes against my organized superstition. Of course, one of the things I do is I say, do you believe in dogs? Do you believe in cats? Do you believe in sheep? Do you believe in cattle? Do you believe in corn? And, you know, people have to believe in those things because you could see them. And some people work with them every day. If you do, then you believe in evolution because those things have all been taken in hand by human beings and they have evolved differently from the original living thing that they were. For instance, corn is from a type of grass that grew in the Americas and people said, hey, this is tasty stuff. Let's eat it. And eventually agriculture happened and people started planting it and they planted the ones that grew the most stuff, grew the most corn or maize, as they called it then. That's how it worked. And the same thing with wheat was grass at one point and all these other things. People have bred them this way. For instance, sheep have been bred to have shorter legs than natural sheep. This is because sheep jump. You can look at mountain goats and mountain sheep or whatever they're called. They jump like crazy. They can really jump because they have long legs. But farmers, they want to keep the sheep penned up. If you have sheep that can really jump, well, they're jumping right over your fence. You can't build a big enough fence. So they bred the sheep to have shorter legs so that although they'll still try to jump, they can't jump over the fences anymore. So, yeah, that's one of the things I've always brought up with fundamentalists and stuff about evolution.
Well, R. Paul, I guess you've never had this discussion with your in-laws. Because those are two little old people who do not believe in evolution, and they would just say that God made all those things.
Well, that's actually the Catholic Church's deal. The Catholic Church got into real trouble with that whole Galileo thing and the Copernican theory that the entire universe does not revolve around the Earth and that the sun doesn't go around the Earth. The Earth revolves around the sun along with all the other planets. And so when Galileo said, hey, I've used a telescope and I can say it's true and I can prove it. Well, they couldn't do anything to Copernicus because Copernicus had his book published while he was on his deathbed. So he was already dead. But Galileo, they said, all right, we're going to get you, Jack. And so we all know he was in house arrest and they showed him the rack and he was scared. And so they had a big problem with that because obviously later on it got really proven and you can't avoid the proof that the sun is at the center of the solar system, and, you know, and much less the universe. So they said, wow, did we ever get burned? It was in fact not until 1825 that the official Vatican astronomer had to say, yeah, Copernicus was right. And it was not until not that many years ago that the Pope apologized to Galileo, even though Galileo had been dead for like 400 years at that point. And yes, I had to defend the Copernican theory against one of my relatives when I was a kid. She insisted the Bible says the earth is the center and it all goes around it. She was a Protestant, so Protestants could still do that. Catholics are on shaky ground because of all the papal stuff. But the Catholic Church learned from that. And initially, they were as adamantly against Darwin's theory of evolution through natural selection. And that's the thing, evolution through natural selection. Those three words are the thing that the superstitionists can disagree with. They were against it too, but then they said, you know, we got burned on that Copernican thing. What we can do is this. We can say, oh, well, God does it all, but We don't necessarily know how he does it, so they're really backing away from saying anything about this so that they don't get burned again. But we don't know how Dog Spelled Backwards does this, but it's there, and sure, maybe Dog Spelled Backwards follows it this way.
Well, my parents don't even believe that. And I don't think they even knew that all their kids were learning the theory of evolution in school. And it was part of a Catholic education.
Yeah, for mine too. And we had a lay teacher who taught us biology, and he said all this, and it wasn't much of a controversy. All the kids knew it, you know. And there was one Brother Benignus. He was a religion teacher and a notorious religion teacher. He used to beat the crap out of kids. He was a terrible old man. And when he would come in one class, I wasn't in that class, but in one particular class, he came after the biology teacher. And he would come in, "No, don't believe that. It's a lie. There is no evidence." And he would rail against what the kids had just been taught, which is, you know, great stuff. And because he was an old brother, a brother is like a monk and a religious person, and, you know, part of the Catholic Church, not a priest, but a lesser type of religious. The Catholic Church has a whole setup of how it goes. A brother is a male nun, put it that way. And he, you know, they wouldn't do anything about Brother Benignus contradicting what the kids had just been taught because he was old and they knew he wasn't going to relent because he thinks he's fighting the great fight for Dog Spelled Backwards. So they just turned a blind eye to this idiot. Anyway, one of the things that various fundamentalists come up with is, oh, there's no evolution. Again, they don't even go into the idea that what they're against is evolution through natural selection. There's none of that going on. You can't do it in a laboratory. Oh, guess again, superstitionist. First of all, evolution has been proven and manipulated in the laboratory for more than 100 years using the fruit fly Drosophila. They use those because they have a very rapid lifespan. In a few weeks, you get generations of these fruit flies. And so if you do something to them, and if it's going to change them in some way, it shows up within weeks rather than doing it on like some mammal or something. It's going to take years and years, you know. Somebody's entire career will end up being eaten by two generations of mammals, whereas anybody can sit around and raise fruit flies and watch them change, and this happens. So they say this is also a way of testing things. Will this chemical have an effect on the DNA of the fruit flies? And they put it in there, and, you know, after about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, the fruit fly has eight legs instead of six legs. And they said, gee, we think this chemical has an effect. Well, not necessarily a good one, unless you really need eight-legged fruit flies. So anyway, they've been doing that for more than 100 years. Well, now something else has been happening. Scientists have been looking into multicellularity. Life on this planet started out as single-celled organisms. And so that's how it started. But now you and I and a whole lot of other things are multicellular organisms. In fact, what we see are multicellular organisms unless you manage to come across one particular bacteria that is actually visible to the naked eye. It's rare, and you're probably never going to see it. But everything else you see that's alive is multicellular. People, trees, insects, all this stuff. So they say, how did we go from one thing to the other? Now, scientists know that one thing that happened was that at some point a cell managed to eat another cell, which is what they were doing all the time. The microbes were eating each other. But some cell ate another cell and didn't digest it. And that cell lived inside the cell that ate it. And how this worked out was that the cell that had been consumed became what are now called mitochondria. You have mitochondria in each cell of your body, every living cell of your body. And what happens is they provide our energy. They produce the chemical adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, and I'm not going to talk too much about that. They produce, that's the energy molecule, and they produce that. And it's absolutely necessary, or stuff can't happen inside the cell. And so that's one thing that happened. The other thing that happened was the cell developed a nucleus. Now, in bacteria and other very, we call them primitive, living organisms, one-celled organisms, you have DNA also, but it's in a plasmid. It's basically a little circle, a little hoop, a ring, and that's where the DNA is. And it really doesn't organize all that well. On the other hand, the strength of it is that if two different bacteria come together, they can exchange these plasmids, and that's how immunity to drugs happens, because you use a drug and some bacteria will be immune to it. They survive. When they meet other bacteria who would not be immune to it, they transfer some of the plasmids. Now those bacteria who've never seen the drug, they're already immune to it. So bang, there they go, or at least resistant to it. So that's one of the things that happens on that small cellular level. Now, what's happened recently is, speaking of evolution in the laboratory, a professor at Georgia Tech University, Will Ratcliffe, started doing yeast experiments. He did this starting when he was in graduate school. Basically, what he did was he started growing yeast and basically looking at them and setting things up, and he would have the yeast grow for 24 hours, ordinary yeast, and then he'd centrifuge them so that the heaviest stuff in the vial would be at the bottom of the centrifuge tube. He would take that out and put that in solution, and he would keep on doing this. And he figured the heaviest thing is going to be more than one yeast. And so the scientist reasoned that there would be a reason for yeast cells to stick together if he kept eliminating the ones that didn't. Unnatural selection. And so he kept doing this and doing this. And what he did was he has come up with yeast. Yeast is usually a one-celled thing. And now they're multicellular. They stick together. Oh boy, this is a rather major thing. It's called snowflake yeast. And when they divide now, these yeast don't separate from one another. They form branching structures of genetically identical cells. This is pretty much a definition of being multicellular. So here again, evolution has been done in a laboratory, and we have another instance of how multicellularity can happen. In the article I'm reading here from the May 23rd, 2023 Science Times, they also say that multicellularity is thought to have evolved at least 20 times in the history of life on Earth. I hadn't known that. I had heard before, well, maybe it only occurred once, and wow, wouldn't that be just amazing? That was also used by some fundamentalists to say, oh, well, see, dog spelled backwards did it. But now we find, looks like it happened at least 20 times, and you would figure something like that would, because you've got this huge experimental thing going on called the whole planet Earth, and you've got all of these one-celled organisms in it, and they are evolving, and multicellularity has an advantage. Some things that would become multicellular will last longer than the single-celled creatures. And so, yeah, this is interesting. I hadn't known that at least 20 times multicellular creatures had evolved on this planet. So I think that's a very interesting development, and it sheds light on how we all got here. So the Trump indictment was for 37 felony counts of violations of the Espionage Act and obstruction of justice. He's out. Well, I mean, last time we couldn't talk about this because they hadn't revealed anything yet. He'd just been indicted, and that was, you know, all we knew on the last program. He's out, but others who've been charged with fewer counts of things like this did not get to wait for trial on the outside. reality winner, for one, just went right to jail for a single page that she'd printed out. Trump hoarded hundreds of documents and reportedly showed off some of these documents to people who have no security clearance. And Trump has not been made to hand over his passports. I think he has several passports. I think he's a flight risk when he gets all of these legal things piled up and starts going through it and it dawns on him that he's going to lose. I think he's going to run to Russia. His pal Vladimir Putin will be glad to have him and, you know, ask him some questions about things he may remember from his time being president of the United States. What an aberration that was. And the indictment has given Trump a bump in the polls for the Republican primary race. Trump had 61% support of GOP voters, GOP voters, to just 23% for DeSantis in a CBS poll. The Republican Party has really metamorphosed into something very strange. That poll also revealed that only 7% of Republican voters say the 49-page indictment makes them think less highly of Trump, while about 14% say it makes them support him more strongly. Yeah, strange indeed. It's being reported that after the indictment, Trump went to a local Cuban restaurant and said, quote, "Food for everyone," unquote, twice. The people there sang happy birthday to Trump, and then he left and didn't pay for the food. Some people thought he was treating them, but the stalwart Trumpoids said that Trump had only said that there'd be food for everyone at the restaurant, not that he was buying it. Trump is also known for not paying his bills and stiffing people who have contracts with him and do work for him. What a slug this guy is. He needs to be locked up.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Hey, good people. We got a special invitation for you. All you need to do is grab your dancing shoes and join WBAI and Afrobeat Radio for an evening of West African music, funk, jazz, and soul as we go live with Othello's Lounge from Lagos, the musical capital of Nigeria. It's going down Thursday, June 22nd from 7 to 11 at SOB's downtown Manhattan. It's going to be an Afrobeat celebration to benefit none other than WBAI Radio. All you have to do for tickets is call 212-209-2950 and ask for those SOB tickets or go to give2wbai.org. We can't wait to see you there.
Gotta wind it up. Gotta wind up the WBAI pitching train. All right, it's wound up now. Here we go. It's pitching time on WBAI. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we are begging you for bucks. We're asking you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what that means is a BAI buddy is the name that we have for our sustaining membership. And a BAI buddy contributes once a month to WBAI, a steady stream there. And what you can do is you call 1-212-209-2950 and you can become a sustaining member or you can make a one-time donation. So you call 1-212-209-2950 and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And if they say they never heard of it, tell them you better have heard from it and, you know, berate them or something. I don't know. Anyway, we've gotten some information about some of this. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. Call that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And then you'll give the person at the call center your credit card or debit card number. And you'll tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. It can be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you have it. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And they will do it that way. And that way it's more convenient for you. You can also say you want to make a one-time donation. And that's pretty easy to do too. I will note, the elections are about to happen. In fact, the election time has started. And if you want to be a candidate for the local station board, you can go to WBAI.org and find information there on how to sign up to become a candidate. You have to be a member, though. And for the most part, $25 is the membership fee that will make you a member, and you can run for the local station board and become a part of the governance of WBAI if you contribute $25 or more. And so that means also if you're a BAI buddy, once you hit $25, if you're doing like $10 a month, on the third month, you will be a member. The thing is, you got to do it by June 30th. So this is our last pitch for some of you to become members. You know, we've got some crazy people who are members, and oh boy, they're going to vote for other crazy people, and we don't need them on the local station board. We need sane people like the people who listen to this unusual radio program. And we need you to be able to support us. Not just with money, but maybe by running for the local station board and being one of the sane people on the local station board. Again, 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. And when you call that number, just tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And why should you do that? Well, one, you get to vote. And this is important because if we get it, you know, too many crazy people, we could see BAI go away. And we don't want that. And also, of course, it shows that there are listeners to these overnight radio programs. And yeah, right now the sun is actually up because we used to be on in the wee hours of the morning. Now we're on very early on a Saturday morning. And so the sun comes up around solstice time before we're done with the program. But we're still an overnight radio program. And there are people who want to get rid of all of the overnight programs. And they say, hey, let's rent out WBAI's signal from midnight to 6 a.m. every night. And that'll raise money for the station. And it might. Might not raise enough, but it might do that. But it would also wipe out all of the overnight radio programs. Not just us, but all of the overnight radio programs, which we think have value. The way you can help to save those overnight radio programs, including this one, and also save WBAI, is by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. Or if you want to make a one-time donation of $25 or more, you can become a member of WBAI instantly. And so we need folks to do that. We need folks to call that number and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. 1-212-209-2950. And there are so many odd things on WBAI, and I think odd is generally good. And you get some wild stuff on here and you don't hear it anywhere else. Yeah, there are some things you're going to, you know, want to throw a book at the radio over. That's life. But we have all sorts of ideas going out on the air and you don't get this stuff elsewhere. Where else do they talk about things like where multicellularity starts out. You know, you don't get that in many places. So really, this is something that is worth saving, folks. And again, $10, $15, or $20 a month, whatever you want to choose, you can just do that and call 1-212-209-2950. Most people can probably afford $10 a month. Not everybody, but I think most people can, in fact, afford that. Please, if you can at all afford something like that, call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you will be helping to save Back of the Book, save overnight radio programs, and save WBAI. Thank you if you'll call 1-212-209-2950. That's been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
We are preempted next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks on July 1st. So remember to tune in then and look at glib.com, glib.com, for more information. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Enjoy the march if you're going, and enjoy all the pride events. And above all, remember what that "hoping he's in better shape to march next year" Dormouse said.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that $0.33 a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as $0.33 a day. $10 a month. You can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
Hey, good people. We got a special invitation for you. All you need to do is grab your dancing shoes and join WBAI and Afrobeat Radio for an evening of West African music, funk, jazz, and soul as we go live with Othello's Lounge from Lagos, the musical capital of Nigeria. It's going down Thursday, June 22nd from 7 to 11 at SOB's downtown Manhattan. It's going to be an Afrobeat celebration to benefit none other than WBAI Radio. All you have to do for tickets is call 212-209-2950 and ask for those SOB tickets, or go to give2wbai.org. We can't wait to see you there.
Extinction Diaries. There are 6 known freshwater dolphin species, all highly adaptive, yet 5 are in immediate danger of extinction. A 7th, known as the Baiji or Chinese Yangtze River dolphin, was declared extinct in 2006. 4 of the 6 remaining species and a few subspecies are in Asia, and 2 others are struggling in the Amazon. Pollution is weakening and killing these incredible freshwater cetaceans. For instance, mercury poisoning from Amazon gold mining is killing the pink bodu, and Chinese factory runoff was a major factor in the Baiji extinction. Damming rivers, increased agriculture, accidental entanglement, and overfishing the dolphins' food sources are also prime causes of depopulation. There may be only 950 Ganges River dolphins, as few as 150 Irrawaddy, and 1,000 or less of the Asian finless porpoise. The speed of species depopulation is mind-boggling. The Baiji went from 6,000 plus to zero in 3 decades. We must act courageously to avoid that fate. My name is Arnold Oliveira. This is a Small World Radio production.
Extinction Diaries. For the past decade, scientists and beekeepers have been sounding the alarm that both domesticated honeybees and hundreds of different kinds of wild bees are dying off in numbers that are definitely leading to their extinction. A reality check reveals that bees are reflecting what is happening to all insects. What is clear is that pesticides used by commercial agriculture, as well as homeowners, schools, governments, and others, are killing bees and all insects. Shell Oil and Bayer, who now owns Monsanto, have developed a chemical pesticide known as Neonic that is devastating all insects, which has led to a catastrophic decline in bird populations that eat these insects. Those and all pesticides like Roundup and many other familiar brands are reaching our lungs as well as all soils and even the ocean. What we spray on and against bugs are poisoning humans, whales, corals.